God does things at the right time. We oftentimes wonder about when is the right time to do things. And God knows that he needs to do things at the right time. And really, when we look at the evidence of the scriptures, God was a great planner. God planned to do things at a particular time because that was the right time. In the book of Deuteronomy, we read these words, 3 times a year, all the men of Israel must appear before the Lord at the place that the Lord will choose, and these are the 3 times. At the festival of unleavened bread, at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of tabernacles. And no one, during those times, should come before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. God's amazing planning. Jesus suffered and was crucified during the festival of unleavened bread. It was necessary that God should have witnesses to the sacrifice of Jesus. It wouldn't be enough just to have him die in some corner room or in some attic or some basement. Jesus had a public death and a public suffering. And it was done during the time of the Passover when all the devout male Jews, the witnesses, could give testimony to the things that happened in those days because they were there when they happened. And so Jesus died in Jerusalem when they were ordered to be there as witnesses. And then we have the giving of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given 50 days after Passover at the Festival of Weeks. And during this festival, all the devout Jewish men were ordered by the scripture to appear before the Lord, to go to the temple, to gather in Jerusalem. So not every male Jew came because he couldn't, but all that could, a great multitude came and gathered together in Israel for the time that God had prepared for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we have God the planner. Let's just look at a little bit of this also, because Jesus said to the disciples after the resurrection, go to Jerusalem and wait there the 50 days until I should come to you in the Holy Spirit. And so God has the 12 disciples, and Acts records 120 others, altogether 120, gathered together in Jerusalem during this time of the festival when the Holy Spirit is given to the church, and the church is founded. And then the book of Acts makes this wonderful announcement. At that time, 3,000 people were made into the church. So the church was created. The Christian church was created on Pentecost when the gift of the Holy Spirit inspired 3,000 people to be touched by God. One of the things that's important about this, besides the need for witnesses, is that they should be devout people. And it emphasizes that these are devout people who would be aware of what happened. And it's evidenced in the story. It says in the story that there was a sound. Now, it's said that a tornado, and I've been in areas of the country when tornadoes happen, is like a train running outside your house, as though the railroad tracks are right next to your house and the train rushes by and rumbles the whole house. That's sort of like the sound of a tornado, and I've experienced some of that. The tornado wasn't too close, but it sounded like a rushing train next to the house. And so we have this occurrence when there is a rumbling and a shaking and a motion, and it is not an earthquake and it's not a tornado. It would cause attention. People would say, what is this? And that's the record. It's what is happening. And they rush to a place to see what is happening. And at that time then, God comes to them in tongues of fire. Now, we really don't know what that is. All that we know is the evidence of the witnesses is that some kind of golden aura or some kind of something that looked like fire surrounded and was upon the apostles, the 12 apostles. And they had, as it were, bright faces and fire-like appearances. We have no idea what that is, other than to say that was the evidence that the Holy Spirit gave so the witnesses could see that something different was upon them. And then we have the last evidence that they all speak not gibberish or just Hebrew or just Aramaic or just Greek, but the apostles speak and all the people hear. So it wasn't just the apostles who received the Holy Spirit. It was the 3,000 others who were converted who also received the Holy Spirit, because it isn't that 12 men would speak all these different languages at the same time. Whatever they spoke, whether it's Aramaic or Greek. But the hearers, the people who heard the message, didn't hear it what was spoken. They heard it in translation through the Holy Spirit, as it were. And you have these names of all these different people from all around the world of that time. So these were visitors to Jerusalem who were keeping a devout promise, as they were ordered to do so. And God chose the right time to give them the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And these 3,000 people founded the church. And then they went home. And they communicated in their homeland what they had seen and what they had heard. Many of them may have been there during the crucifixion 50 days before. So they could relate about this Jesus. They could relate what happened to him. They could relate about the 12 apostles. And they could tell what happened to them. And they could then testify or give witness to their own personal experience of the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Peter gets up and interprets all of this for them. And he says, our duty then is to communicate this to others, to tell the story. And they do. They go, the Christian church is founded very quickly because all these Jews go to their homelands and their local synagogues and their family structures and their groups and their tribes, and they tell the story. This is what happened. Now, some people want to call that evangelism, and it is, but I would suggest that it's also witnessing. This is what happened to me. This is what I saw. This is my experience, and this is the way I interpret that experience. So when we talk to people that way, people don't think we're trying to sell them something. And I don't think they had that experience either. They went back and they said, wow, let me tell you what happened to me on my trip to Jerusalem. Let me tell you all. And people would want to listen to that. And they did. And some of them were touched by the Holy Spirit, and they became members of the Christian movement or the Christian church. At that time, it was really just part of Judaism. It wasn't until years later that the Jews in Antioch would be called the Christians. They were still Jews, but they were known as the Christian Jews. This then spread out in a communication network because Judaism was dispersed around the entire Roman Empire, which was at peace at the time. So there was no problem with travel, no problem with walking the roads or using the ships. So all of this communication by the Holy Spirit, because it was the right time, communicated itself to the whole entire Roman world. And the church was founded in every synagogue, in every place. And Christianity began, the witness to Jesus and his life, and the witness to the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's the way they did it in their day. We in our day have the remnants of that, or the remainder of that. We have churches around the entire world, but we don't need any more to just depend only on actual persons to person, going to person to going to person. We can use other means. We have the internet. We have print items. We have a radio. We have television. We have, what else do we have? We have just about everything, right? Facebook. We have Twitter. We have all these communication, instantaneous communication, and we can give witness and testimony and tell our story to the world. On the way here this morning, I was thinking about that because, you know, we, as I spoke last week and before that, have an association with the Syriac Orthodox Church. We had that meeting. I had that meeting with the Patriarch of the Syriac Orthodox Church in Antioch. And it's interesting to note that Antioch, of which he is the Patriarch, is the place 2,000 plus years ago, where we were first called the Christians. It's in the book of Acts. Those in Antioch were called the Christians for the first time. And here we are, so long after, and such a small group of people, having an interaction and a relationship and being of assistance to the Christians of Syria and the Christians of Antioch. Sometimes, I'm sure you have the same experience, at least I know I do, you wonder if what you do and what you say and who you are has any significance. And it would seem, for all intents and purposes, that it doesn't, you know. We're just a little piece of sand on the seashore, whatever you want to say. We're not important people. We're not significant players. We're not world actors. But, surprise, surprise, in the Christian church, a small group like us, at the right time, involved with other Christian people, are able to give assistance, able to give support, able to offer prayers, able to interact face to face with those who were the first time called Christians in Antioch over 2,000 years ago. And they have continued to be there. And we're helping them to stay there if they want to stay there. It's a wonderful thing how the Holy Spirit, at the right time, uses people who may be, in the world's eyes, just a little group of people. But you know, the first apostles, how many number? 12. Take away Judas, 11. And they founded the Christian church. God grant us his Holy Spirit as we continue to do that today and look for the Spirit and recognize him and do things in the name of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in this faith unto everlasting life. Amen.